Welcome to SDC Sheffield's Summer Podcast Reboot. This week's podcasts were originally published during Holy Week in 2019. Welcome to the SDC Sheffield Foundation's Daily Podcast. Our theme this Holy Week is The Power of Love, looking at Ephesians 3:14-21.
Each evening, someone will bring a reflection and a theme. This week is the power of love. And tonight I'm going to share a thought on the power of the Spirit. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17a. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. About 10 years ago or so, my wife and I, this is pre-children days, landed in Charleston Airport in South Carolina. We picked up the hire car, left the airport, and headed straight for the freeway. As we were driving along, we both looked at each other and ask the same question. Can you smell that? It wasn't a pleasant smell. And I asked my wife, said, what do you think it is? And she looked at me in that way as if to ask, is it you? Now, we've been traveling for a long time, so it was quite possible. But I assured her it was not me. So after a while, we settled on the probable cause, cat wee. Now, we opened the windows. It's a subtropical climate, so that didn't work. In fact, bizarrely, the heat and the humidity seemed to make the smell get a lot worse. So we argued about the right course of action. Finally, we settled on a plan. Let's be British about it, we thought. We'll just make do. You see, we figured after a while, we'd get used to it, and we could live with it. And to be honest, we just didn't want to make a fuss. Now, we were staying with some Americans, and they strongly encouraged us to return the car and demand an upgrade. They were not the make-do kind of people. So I perfected my best Nicky Gumbel impersonation. If you don't know him, he's a vicar in central London with the most wonderful English accent. And I explained that it would appear, quite possibly, and most unfortunately, that a cat had indeed urinated in the car. And it worked. We got upgraded to a hire car. See, had our friends not intervened, we'd have probably just opted to make do. Make do. You ever heard that before? Just make do. One of the value systems that was drilled into me as a child. For example, make do of the best of a bad situation. Now, in some sense, there's something wise in making do, especially in a world of increasing entitlement and consumption. But in another sense, making do when a relationship is harmful or that job is destructive isn't always wise. Making do in a situation can be frustrating if you don't have the finances or the resources to change a situation. And sometimes just making do can be a way of saying, I just don't think this situation will change. Where does this idea of making do come from? Its full title is To Make Do and Mend. It comes from a prominent slogan at the outset of the Second World War. As people lived with the reality of national scarcity. Now, according to Google, scarcity means this, the state of being scarce, well done Google, or in short supply. Other words could mean insufficiency, poverty, lack, want, deficiency, inadequacy. What about today's world? The writer and researcher Brené Brown in an interview with the Guardian newspaper, said this: we live in a culture with a strong sense of scarcity. We wake up in the morning and we say, I didn't get enough sleep. And we hit the pillow saying, I didn't get enough done. We're never thin enough. We're never extraordinarily enough or good enough. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul's prayer, that beautiful prayer, is that the believers in Ephesus may grasp something of the nature of God's incredible and glorious wealth. What does he mean? What does that even mean? It means that we, his heirs, his children, can know that we can access his phenomenal wisdom, his indescribable power, and his never-ending, unfailing love, which Paul believes to be inexhaustible. It is easy for the kind of make-do thing to enter church life, to become part of culture. Making do can become a mask for a lack of generosity or covering a poverty spirit. It's easy to become self-sufficient and stopped looking or even asking God for his resources and his power. Secondly, the Apostle Paul's ministry was defined by remarkable power, despite his past as a persecutor and murderer of Christians. And in the midst of battles, aware of his weakness, Paul saw God move in incredible power. Conversions, breakthroughs, churches planted. For Paul, a defining reality was the truth that the presence of the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is at work in every single believer. That God's Holy Spirit can bring dramatic healing, can turn even the hardest of hearts and do the miraculous. That even death itself is not the end. Paul's heart is that believers not only know, but move in that power. To have in their hearts the desire to see cities be impacted, as was Ephesus. To see people healed. To see phenomenal breakthroughs. From my own experience, when faced with a battle or a challenging situation, there's a real temptation to make do. Be right. To avoid stepping out in faith. The temptation to manage, than rather speak out, seek God's power, and ask for a breakthrough. And thirdly, the Apostle Paul's prayer is that he's desperate. He kneels before the Father that the Christians, the believers at Ephesus, and by extension us, know the reality of the very breath of God takes residence in our hearts. The pure, beautiful, holy Creator Spirit takes residence within us, so that we know, have faith deep within our hearts, or as they say in Sheffield, in your knower, deep within, that he is with us. And the reality is this, that God does not make do with us. When I was 16, I walked into the office of Mr. Randall. He was my head of house. I'd filled out my forms, choosing my A-levels just before sitting my GCSEs. As and he stood in his office smoking his Hamlet cigar, as they did in those days, he offered me this advice: Tommy, You'll never do A-levels. Go get a factory job. He had a real gift of encouragement, I believe. Well, when the GCSEs didn't quite go to plan, 6 D's, 2 E's and an F for French, to be fair, my French, all right, I did speak English with a French accent, which I thought was resourceful. I retook them, managed to blag my way into A-level course. Then in my end of my first year at university, I saw Mr. Randall outside the local paper shop. I expect he'd been off to buy some Hamlets. And he said to me, "Tommy, which factory are you working in?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm at university." I didn't know at the time that I was dyslexic, found out at theological college. I believed then that I had a call on my life and a dream in my heart. But the temptation was always just make do. Fast forward to 2006, I graduate from the University of Oxford. It's literally a miracle. You see, God does not make do with us. Paul's prayer is that the Ephesians may know the sheer depth of his resource and the power of his Spirit. Let's pray for that for our church this week, this season. So I finish tonight. I want to leave us with this question. Do you find yourself that temptation just to make do? Are there areas in life where you just feel you're making do? But you sense the Spirit of God inviting you deeper to trust Him. My encouragement tonight is this: bring it before the Lord. Dare to trust Him again. Invite Him in. Lay it before Him this very night. I'm going to reread, as we'll do every evening, this beautiful prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
So let go, my soul. It is well with me.